Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Endless Barrel Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Keith Russell. This is the mental health show where I chat to everyone with a story to tell, as well as we get some tips and advice from experts in their chosen field. I'm delighted to say on this particular episode, I'm joined by the stressed out of his eyeballs, Mark Donnelly, who is the founder of HUH Clothing Brand. Mark started the business during lockdown and it's gone from strength to strength. What I find fascinating is that he gives a portion of his revenue to mental health charities, which I think is extraordinary and it's brilliant. And we'll chat to him about that as well. So, Mark, I know you're up to your eyes, but thanks very much for giving up a few minutes to have a chat today. How are you?
Yeah, good. I look stressed, don't I? I look kind of tired now that I look even closer. But no, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I love doing all these types of podcasts. Anything I can do, I will, to spread the message, to tell the story. But this week, I know we'll probably get into it. We just launched our 2022 range this week, so it was kind of stressful, exciting, a lot of like nervous excitement. So kind of a big relief to get it out there. But yeah, a lot of work being done.
Yeah. For anyone who's listening to this and isn't actually watching the video, he's got a big HUH red neon sign over his head. It's nearly like a halo. But anyway, listen, I suppose we better start off and tell people what the HUH stands for.
Yeah, of course. So HUH stands for How's Your Head? And we're an Irish mental health awareness clothing brand raising money and awareness for organizations in need. And we're trying to start that conversation around mental health in a casual manner. So if you don't know, or anyone doesn't know, it's 10% of all of our sales. And in the last 18 months, we've donated €30,000 to mental health organizations, both in the US and in Ireland, but mainly Ireland, because I started this brand in the US while I was living there. But then, of course, moved back to Ireland and my visa ran out. And most of our donations and most of our customers are from Ireland, which is amazing. I really appreciate every last customer. So yeah, that's what we do.
Isn't that just amazing, just to giving 10% of everything to mental health charities? And that's brilliant. Look, we'll get onto that in a little while, because I have loads of stuff I want to talk to you about that. But what I'm fascinated about is, well, basically your own story, because as you said, you're in America, you had this idea, you started it, and you're flying. So will we have a bit of a chat about your own story and how all of this came about? You're in America and you had an idea.
Yeah.
Right, go.
So basically, throughout school, I wasn't very good in school. I'll go back a bit. So I always said like the Leaving Cert was a little speed bump or road bump on my way to becoming an entrepreneur. I always wanted to be a businessman. I always wanted to work for myself so I could have the freedom to make my own decisions, earn my own money, and kind of come and go whenever I wanted. But I'm quite obsessive. Like, so I knew once I start working for myself, I love it and I won't stop if I love what I'm doing. So I went to school. I went to DIT then on Ainger Street and I studied retail services and management. And to be honest, I didn't want to. I just didn't really want to go to college. I didn't really apply myself in sixth year. But it was the best thing I ever did. I met my best friends. I met amazing lecturers, supervisors. And some of those people I met are still my best friends and they pumped some amount of money into my company supporting me. And if I didn't go to college, I wouldn't have met them, number one. Number two, I wouldn't have got my dream job. I worked for Tullamore Dew after college on a grad program. And I went to the state of Wisconsin and I represented the Irish whiskey brand for the whole state on a daily, weekly basis. I went for 18 months and basically selling whiskey into bars, restaurants, setting up parties, events. So much fun. And it was my first time ever to move from home. So it was a huge move. And I wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for like the degree I got. So I went to America at the time of my life. And unfortunately, towards the end of it, the last 6 months, the pandemic started to creep in. My visa was ending in July of 2020. So that's when I moved home. But during all of this, college, America, mental health has always been a passion of mine. So it was always in my head to try to do something. Like I would say I'd be quite a generous person with my time, with my money. And I always wanted to do something in the mental health field, but I just didn't know what it was going to be because I just have a passion for it. So with the passion for mental health, entrepreneurship, and kind of wanting to do my own thing on my own terms, but also do some good. It kind of, the stars aligned in the sense that HUH was born, but it was never, don't get me wrong, it was never like, okay, I have HUH, I know exactly what that means, I have a clothing brand. It was never like that. It kind of just fell into place as like time went on.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. And right, so you're in America, you have this idea, the pandemic is kicking in. So how do you go from that to sitting in your own office with a HUH neon sign off your head?
I have no idea. It's wild. So I had one prototype. Well, I had about six, but I started with one, obviously. I had six hoodies in my Milwaukee apartment in Wisconsin. I remember taking a photo of them on the floor, and I sent them to my friends, like, does anyone want to buy any of these? And I still have that photo, and I sometimes use it in my content. And I have videos in my apartment in Milwaukee and then an apartment in Chicago, which I lived in. And there's loads of content there of, like, literally the prototypes, number one, which I have upstairs on the clothes rack. And as I said, just putting the work in, putting the hours in while I was over there, I moved home. Then I moved into the box room of my parents' house with this idea. And when I got home, it had been like 3 or 4 months in the making. But the huh itself, just to touch on that, is a really American phrase. I often saw it while I was growing up on like the American kids TV channels like Disney, Nickelodeon. You'd see it in Netflix on documentaries or in any American shows, especially if the subtitles on, you notice it more. There's, it would just come up, huh? And I used to get such a good laugh and kind of rip into my mates who'd be saying it in America. I'm like, what are you saying that for? Like, what are you like? And they'd text it to me more so than say it. And the more and more I got a kick out of it, and like, I was like, can't believe they actually say that. It's so American. Like, it's so cliche. The more and more I thought of it, and I was like, well, it's kind of just like taking me. It's taking control. I can't stop thinking about that little word. And then I was like, I thought about it. I sat on it. And I was like, if I put it on a hoodie and relate it to mental health, people are nosy enough to ask what it means. And if they ask me what it means, I'll start a casual conversation around mental health.
Right.
And if I start that casual conversation, I want to build this brand where I say it's casual, comfortable clothing, casual, comfortable clothing, tongue twister, starting casual, comfortable conversations. So Milwaukee, some bits in Chicago, back to my parents' box room in the house for a few months, and then we got an office space in Ashburn Industrial Estate. And I think I started it all with about €500 in my own pocket, like a very little in savings.
Yeah.
Didn't get any money off, no loans or nothing, you know what I mean? So that's how far we've come.
And did it always stand for How's Your Head?
Yeah, it always was, yeah.
It always touched that, yeah.
Yeah, so straight off the bat, I thought of it. And like I said, I just went to some random shop in Wisconsin. I was like, print that on a hoodie, please.
Mm.
And within 2 hours of wearing it, people were like, huh? What does that mean?
All right, getcha. Yeah. Because I'm I do branding and I do digital marketing as well. And I graphic design, all that type of stuff. So I'd be fascinated with all this stuff anyway, even if no one else is. So I'd be kind of thinking, like, was it always just three letters, or did you think of different fonts or different colors or different ways? Or because I know I saw one picture of it and you actually had the writing on it, so it was actually the words How's Your Head. So what did you have, like, in your head all these different variations of what way he was going to end up?
Yeah, of course. So we also have like a head logo, and on it has like a man and woman in the one logo, the brain and HUH in it, which we've put on crew necks before. So we kind of have two logos. This is obviously the iconic one that people will know. But I've trialed How's Your Head in text. Mm. I've trialed a few different kind of designs, but some of them are obviously more popular than others. This one is the kind of OG design, which is our most popular item. Yeah. But we've done the kind of full head logo, which you'll see throughout our Instagram and stuff like that. And for summer coming, April, May this year, we've been working with a local Ashburn artist and she's designed us a t-shirt. And it's really kind of funky, really retro, really like summery, oversized vibe. So I'm really, really excited for that. But the HUH is kind of the main one.
Yeah. Because like it's got around the brand, hasn't it? Because I didn't even notice this because I did a podcast with Rory. And, you know who he is. But if anyone isn't, Rory Stories. And he was wearing one of your t-shirts and I never even noticed it. And it was like a month or something later, I was going back and I was looking at the video. And then I noticed that he was wearing the HUH t-shirt. Never noticed it at the beginning. And I think, but you know him, don't you? Isn't he in your football club or something like that?
Yeah, so Rory's from Ashburn. He plays in the same club as me. I think he actually only retired from the football last year. But yeah, we've known each other for ever really, like around the club. We're playing the same club on the same teams last year for a while. He's borrowed a few jerseys off me over the years for videos, et cetera, et cetera. And he's a great advocate for mental health. So he's bought hoodies off me and t-shirts off me. Like, I tried to give him a few for free and he refused. Like, he wouldn't take them for free. He's like, I want to pay for these and support them.
Yeah.
And he shared them all over social media too. So it's great that there's someone like him as well from Ashburn advocating for mental health and all he does as well. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know. He's lovely. He's a lovely fella. How would you decide what mental health charities you're going to choose, or is it just kind of randomly? Or
yeah, so basically it's random. Okay, so I try to share the love as much as possible. There's a few different ways. One, it's just totally random, we share the love. Two, it's kind of based on geographic location. So for example, if I get loads of orders from the US, I will donate to the US. Because it's mainly Ireland, we donate in Ireland. Then I also sometimes will reach out to like the top customer of the month or a few months and say, hey, like, Keith, where would you like me to donate this to? And then I try to just kind of go from like the big organizations all the way to the ones in small towns like Carlow, Kilkenny, Leitrim, just because they're totally underfunded too. So trying to like just look to like the message itself, trying to spread it far and wide, just like the donations. So how it's kind of done. There's no, sometimes it's literally random where I will just scroll through Instagram and try to find one which I haven't discovered before. And kind of do a bit of research on it, make sure it's all right, all above board, and then, go for it.
And what do they say? Like, do you contact them and say, listen, we're going to be making a donation, or no?
No, it's just completely random. So it's funny, like, the smaller organizations are obviously blown away. Like, I've gotten, let's see if I have one close by. I have one right here to show you. But, like, I've gotten thank you notes. I've gotten handwritten notes belong to. They sent me like a handwritten note to thank me for my like two or three donations I gave. I received like a really nice pen from Mental Health Ireland. But a few of the smaller organizations would like hand write back and like, wow, this is amazing. Or like, for example, I've gotten like tweets and messages on like Saturday evenings off these organizations who are really small. So like the Kerry Mental Health Association one night, they randomly got a $1,500 donation or whatever it was off me. And they like messaged me straight away and they're like, whoa, what's this for? Like, thank you so, so much. They were speechless. So
they didn't even know it was coming.
No, I don't tell anyone. It's just totally random.
That's amazing. Jesus Christ. It's fair play. It's amazing. It really is. Have you ever kind of suffered with mental health yourself, or is it just being a passion for you? Like, have you ever been like anxious?
Absolutely. To be honest now, there's no one out there who says they're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone is to a certain degree. It just depends on how bad it is. And so growing up, I would have been, and this is totally undiagnosed, but in recent years, speaking to more and more people and studying it more, I definitely had and have OCD. And it would have been really bad in my teenage years where I'd become very obsessive over certain things. And for anyone, like in terms of OCD and compulsions, so like you have like the checking compulsion, the reassurance compulsion, the sanitization, the praying. I would constantly check and reassure certain things. So for example, I would check 10 times before I went to bed if all the doors were locked, but I locked them myself. And I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be restless. I'd be lying awake without going, okay, Mark, if you check that again, or something really bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
And some of these compulsions would have happened over the years. And I even noticed to this day, I would eat the same breakfast most mornings. Like, unless I'm not at home, if I'm staying in a friend's house, if I'm in a hotel, if I'm on holidays. But years ago, I would not like budge on that because I'd feel my day wouldn't go the right way. I wouldn't perform at training that night. I wouldn't play well at my match that evening if I wasn't eating a certain way or doing a certain thing or wearing a certain thing. And it became really, really obviously controlling and obsessive for me. But I never knew what it was. I thought I was just a kind of quirky character. And to be honest, like, there's good and bad to it. Like, I feel like it's definitely contributed to my like work ethic, because I obsess over work because I love it and I just won't stop, which is also good and bad. But Yeah, I think OCD definitely. And you often see people who, oh, I have OCD, the volume has to be on an even number. And I'd be like, well, I had OCD to just a point where, like, if there was anything on the floor, like a speck of dirt, I wouldn't be in that room. I'd have to move it. If the curtains weren't closed a certain way, I wouldn't be able to watch whatever was on the TV because it would just obsess over it. Yeah, like, that's not like closed that. The right way.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense, you know? It literally makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of my experience in it. And that was throughout my teens. I wouldn't say I grew out of it. Like, there's still some tendencies there today. I don't know what way to put it. But it's just nowhere near as bad.
Yeah. I had Caroline McMenamin. I'm not sure if you know who she is. But she kind of deals with OCD. And I had her on the podcast. And she was saying, you know, she was describing the different types of OCD that there is. And the one that you're talking about, I can't remember the name of it, but that would be the one that she would have suffered with. Or I would have OCD, but I'd be more of a visual OCD. So it'd be, you know, things have to be kind of in a straight line, or things have to be spaced out evenly, or, you know, it'd be more aesthetics and stuff like that. So in other words, like, I could dump a load of stuff in the wardrobe and not worry about it because it's out of sight. Do you know what I mean? Where the one that you had would be something like what she had, where I'd be more worried about what if something was going to happen. So it'd be more of a safety thing, you know, checking the light switches and checking the sockets and all that type of stuff. So it'd be kind of similar to yours. I know I can't remember the name for it, but yeah, there's so many different types of OCD. I know it is kind of, and it's draining, isn't it? It can be physically and mentally exhausting.
Honestly, and it is so exhausting. Or just even, like, I can tell if I'm, like, overworked and I'm getting more anxious, you can see it creep back in. Mm. And, like, for example, like, a few months ago, I remember, like, I have a clothes steamer in here. So I turned it off, came down the stairs, set the alarm, locked the office, put down the shutters, and I was in my car. And I was like, that steamer is going to burn the whole building down. You never turned it off. But literally, 3 minutes previous, I was like, Mark, you turned it off. I'm like, no, you didn't. My head was like, no, you didn't. What if the building burns down? And I literally did it 3 minutes previous to get out of my car, unlock the building, open the shutters, the doors, the alarm, go back upstairs to realize that it was turned off. And it's kind of like this, it's obviously anxiety too, but it's the reassurance and the checking, compulsion and OCD. And you can tell I can slip back into it when I'm getting really, really stressed or really anxious. Yeah. But I try my best to manage that I feel like I manage that quite well at this stage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said, like, you're obviously very strong-willed, and I mean, like, you're starting a business during lockdown, and, you know, like you said yourself earlier on, that you're doing an awful lot yourself, you know, and that's mentally exhausting as well. But you're like I said, you're obviously strong-minded, and the OCD, you know, or the compulsiveness is actually, you're using it to its benefits as well. Fair play to
that's you. It. Making the best out of the bad situation there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wait, do you know what I wanted to ask you? So I was reading something on you earlier on, because I wanted to check a few things, and I didn't realize you did this, but you did something about 40,000 steps for Pieta House, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So that was in Milwaukee. And you know what? That was at the very, very beginning. Like, we weren't even selling anything at that stage. It was just, I wanted to get a fundraiser in and start to raise awareness. So I was just doing like 40,000 steps a day for a week. Turned out to be the hottest week of the summer in Wisconsin, so it was horrific. But wow, that's a blast from the past. I hadn't thought or talked about that now in a long time. That would have been like July, or no, probably a bit earlier than that. It would have been May or June of 2020. But that was a great, as you bring back great memories of being in the States. Like, it was actually a lot of fun, but it was very tough.
I didn't realize you did in America, and I didn't realize it was 40 steps a day. So you just walk or anything. I read it was like walk, run, or crawl, whichever way you got it done.
Yeah, so I was running for a good, like, I started most days with a run, and then I was like, okay, I cannot run 40,000 steps a day. Like, this is not possible. So most of it was just walking. Some of it was very tough, and very slow, because it was like in the 30s a lot of the time.
Was it? Yeah.
But I lost, I shed some amount of pounds that week.
I'd say so. Right, well, I'll tell you what, like, we're nearly there. We're nearly there because, like I said, I don't want to keep you too long because I know you're up to your eyes.
Yeah, no worries.
I wanted to talk to you about Cormac Ryan and his new cycle that he's doing called Project Educate. How did you get involved in that? Because you are you sponsoring him or how are you involved in that?
Yeah, so to be honest, I never knew Cormac until about a month ago. And I have a few mutual friends of him, of course. Ireland is tiny. And he reached out. I had seen him before on the RTE documentary, and he was wearing a HUH crew neck, and loads of people actually had sent me it. So I knew who he was. I'm pretty sure I was following on social media after that documentary. And I knew he was a customer, but I never knew his story. I never knew about his travels or his cycles. We met up for a coffee recently, and he told me like what he's been through, what he's doing, what he plans to do across the States. He's cycling from San Francisco to New York in Ada Bodywise. And I was like, I'd really want to get him on board. Like, I love all this sort of stuff. And I was like, number one, it's such a cool thing to do, cycle across the States. Number two, you're doing it for a great cause. Three, you're a great lad with a great story to tell. And like, the wheels are turned. I was like, this is so cool. I really want to get involved in any way whatsoever. So basically, we're kind of collaborating them, we're supporting them, we're helping them push it. We're donating our April donations to his fund, his GoFundMe, his charity, his through his link to Bodywise for him and the charity, of course. And we're kitting them out in HUH gear for the cycle. And then we're kind of just there and supporting and helping in any way we can. Obviously, we're still a small company, so I'd love to be able to just go, right, we'll kit you out head to toe and we'll pay for everything. Can't afford it, unfortunately, but we're going to try our best to help them.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? Myself and Cormac are doing a webinar together for Bodywise next month. So that'll be fun, actually. Yeah, and I'm going to get him on the podcast. After the article comes out, we're going to get him on the podcast and we're going to have a chat. Right, so we're nearly there. Do you know, a few fun questions I want to ask you. So you have your 2022 line out at the moment. Is there any products that you'd love to do that you don't do at the moment?
Oh, there's so many I'd love to do now, to be honest. But it's just trying to manage them all in a way that's sustainable and affordable. And there's also a lot of products out there I'd love to do, but you just could never compete with the people who do it the best. Like even today, some guy was asking me about like parka jackets for the winter. And as much as I would love to do that, it's so hard to compete with the likes of North Face and Columbia and Nike. And you're kind of like, it's a good idea to try do them, but then if you're getting good quality stuff made, it's going to be too expensive because we're too small of a brand for people to be forking out, you know? Yep. But then if you go the other way, you're getting lesser quality stuff for cheap. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be seen as a brand of low quality.
Exactly.
So for now, we're kind of sticking with the crew necks, the hoodies, the t-shirts, and the gilets. I kind of stick in what I know and what we're good at. And until I get more resources and staff or whatever around me, then I'll start to become way more adventurous. Mm. But until then, it's kind of just going to stick to the stuff I know that's really good quality, that sells, and that I can like really, really put confidence in.
Yeah, yeah. The green one I messaged you the other night is gorgeous. I'm going to get one of them off you. So I'm going to be your next customer. I'm going to get one of them off you. No, I think it's 100% recyclable as well, your stuff as well. So, I mean, like everything that you do is for a good reason.
That's it. All of our hoodies, they're made of 85% recycled cotton, 15% recycled polyester. So don't get me wrong, they're a bit more like, they're not cheap. Like the regular hoodie now is $59.99 and the zippy and the crew neck is $64.99. But 100% recycled materials. And don't get me wrong, like I'm not laughing all the way to the bank. You know what I mean? They're expensive, like to manufacture, very expensive to manufacture.
Yeah.
But I often say, like, once you have them in your hand, you're like, whoa, okay. I find, right, a lot of people will come across you on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, wherever. And they're like, whoa, this guy's doing good for mental health. Like, let's support this cause. And then a hoodie arrives and they're like, whoa, I was only supporting to support, but now I'm like, I really want another one because the quality is amazing.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have a really high rate of returning customers and like loyal customers who just keep coming back. It's absolutely amazing. And I like, I can't thank them enough.
Yeah. Well, look, and like the whole thing, shop local and support local, and like you're doing mental health and you're donating. Look, it's incredible. It's brilliant. Who would you like to you see wearing your brand?
Ooh, wow. What a question. See, the people who are like, if I was to say I'd like to see someone wear my brand, the two people I look up to the most and kind of follow the most, one is Ben Francis, who owns Gymshark. So he would never wear my brand, you know what I mean? But his story is phenomenal. And then another one is Gary Vaynerchuk. He's an entrepreneur from New York.
I know him, yeah.
He is now an investor in Gymshark.
So, oh, is he? Right, okay. He's an investor in everything.
yeah, honestly. So it was funny because they're the two guys I follow the most, I listen to the most, I read up the most on. And then next thing I see on Instagram, they're partnering. Like, he's coming an investor in Gymshark. I was like, that is very, very cool. Yeah. But they're the two people who I'd love to see in a HOH hoodie, even though probably won't happen.
Yeah. He's an investor in, I think, Facebook as well, and Twitter. Has been an investor in everything. Yeah.
Snapchat, Instagram.
Yeah.
The works.
Everything, exactly. Yeah. So what's your vision for HOH?
Good question. So my vision, like, to be honest with you, is to spread the brand as far and wide as possible, because mental health is universal. So it doesn't matter what language, culture, religion, what corner of the globe you're in. It can be t-shirts, hats, socks, shorts, hoodies, gilets, parkas, gym gear, mountain climbing gear. This has the potential to go everywhere. People are like, oh, it's a niche. It is a niche, but like, there's not one person in the world that doesn't deal with their mental health, good or bad. No matter what language they're speaking, no matter who they're praying to, no matter what culture they're going, what they're from, it doesn't make a difference. We all deal with our inner thoughts. We are all with ourselves 24/7, 365. There's no escaping it. So my goal is trying to spread this message in a sustainable way as far and wide as possible, at a rate that I can control it and I can like stay on top of my physical and mental health as well. I don't want it to get to a stage where, okay, my benefits or my business is benefiting, but my mental health is deteriorating. It has to grow together. And yeah, I think that's it. I would love like a HQ, like somewhere in the States, back where it all began. I'd love a proper HQ. Like, obviously we have an office and stuff, but I'd love a really like a cool headquarters and warehouse in Ashburn, where I'm from. And just to kind of surround myself with family and friends who like employ people and stuff like that too. Yeah,
well done. Look, I'm just going to say this now, I just think what you're doing is absolutely incredible. And I'm not just saying that, I genuinely mean it. Like for all the different reasons, for starting a business during lockdown, for even starting it, you know, at all, you having a vision and going for it, I love those stories. You're supporting mental health charities, you're raising awareness, you're doing, like, I'm just going to say, it's amazing. It really, really is. Fair play to you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
No, you're very well. Thank you. You're very, very welcome. Right, we're going to do a few plugs. So is there anything, well, obviously we're going to plug your website is hohclothing.com. And of course, all your socials are there as well, aren't they?
Yeah, and I do. I always say, like, if anyone's following me, we post a lot. So you're either going to love me or hate me, but I post twice a day, every day, because if you're not posting, the competition are number one. And social media is so saturated now. If I'm only posting once a week, I'm never going to be able to pay any bills. So I have to try to get as much organic traction as I can. We do run Facebook ads too. But yes, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all HOH Clothing. HOHclothing.com is our website. We just launched a 2022 pre-sale range that is shipping from all new products, all new styles, designs that will ship from the 28th of this month, if not sooner. But yeah, so that will ship later this month. But our current range is still shipping on a daily basis, next day delivery, all that jazz. And yeah, if anyone needs any hoodies, hats, gilets, you know where I am.
Well done.
How was that for a plug?
I'll be editing that out. Don't worry about it. I'm only joking. Right, I've got to let you go. Is there anything that you want to add before we go, Mark?
Yeah, I like to kind of end everything on a message to anyone who maybe is struggling with their mental health. Yeah. I say this time and time again that a problem shared is a problem halved. Just to get it off your chest is like at least 90% of the battle there. Like, because we build these things up in our head and on our mind, be a lot worse than they actually transpire to be. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't have to be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be anyone you feel confident in. And if you're someone who is kind of worrying maybe about a family member or friend, You don't have to be a professional. You don't give any advice. Just be there to listen. Just be there as a shoulder to cry on, a non-judgmental avenue for someone to kind of trust and confide in. And it would really, really help.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. It's funny you did that, because I used to end all the podcast episodes with that. I used to ask the guest, is there any kind of words of wisdom or advice they want to give? And most of the time, like, nobody could think of anything. So I stopped asking the question, and as soon as I stopped asking, you do it. So well done. Fair play to you. Right, we're gonna shoot off, Mark. Thanks very much for giving up your time. I know you are very, very busy, so I do appreciate you giving up a few minutes for a chat. And we'll wrap this up. Right, guys, we're gonna head off, and we're gonna let Mark get back to shipping a few hoodies. I'll see you all again very soon, guys, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Endless Sport Podcast. Bye for now.